Hello, mamas. Welcome to another episode of Moms of the Night podcast. As always, I'm just so glad that I'm in your ears right now, and I love this conversation. I know so many of you are going to love it because I've had a lot of conversations through Instagram DMs about, okay, let's talk about how we decide if we're done having babies. And in the season of life I'm in right now, it is something I am constantly questioning, and it's such a huge decision. So many different perspectives and things to think about. And I think as moms, it's just something that weighs on us really heavily when we're not quite sure if we're done or not. And so my guest today is Taylor Cole, and she's a mama of three. She's also a bioresonance and nutritional therapy practitioner. Her wellness content is amazing on her Instagram. But today we're talking all about motherhood and the decision to be done having kids, to have more kids. She talks us through her motherhood journey, her experience with how the transition was between 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3. She gets real honest about the challenging season of motherhood she's in right now, and also on the perspectives that both her and her husband had on how many kids they wanted and how that kind of changed and transpired over the periods of having children. She also tells the hilarious story of telling her husband that she was pregnant with number 3, which was not planned. You do not want to miss that part. And ends it with just a beautiful Dear Mama monologue. So I cannot wait to get into this episode. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed. Please give us a 5-star review. It really helps out the show. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Taylor. Right. Hi, friend. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to have you here with me today. I feel like we've randomly connected through different channels. I started obviously following you through your wellness journey, and just have completely changed my life and my methods, especially in motherhood. I just have loved everything you put out there and how honest you've been about your own journey with your kiddos and how you mix, you know, a little bit of everything. I feel like I feel so aligned in that with you. And so although that's not what we're talking about today, I just had to say that, like, it's just really nice to be in your presence and to have you here with us.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. And yeah, it's kind of nice to do a podcast on, you know, all I talk about on Instagram is health tips and wellness stuff. And, you know, my Instagram is definitely just like a highlight reel and like and tips and wellness stuff. But what's really biggest on my heart and first and foremost in life is being a mama. So I'm excited to talk a little more about that side of me, the number one, the most important part of me.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm glad that you chose us to be part of that. I know I was talking to some of my listeners through DMs, and a conversation we get on a lot is the decision to have more kids or not have more kids. And I feel like at one point you had posted something, we got into this conversation a little bit. Well, first off, I'm going to have you give everyone a little intro of who you are and your journey to motherhood, and then kind of what motherhood looks like for you right now. And then I really want to dive into this conversation because I feel like so many mamas grapple with this decision.
All right. Yeah. So first of all, I'm excited to have the convo with you because I feel like I'd love to talk it out because, to be honest, I don't have it all figured out in terms of our family size.
Perfect.
Although it is finalized for me because my husband did get a vasectomy. So I am literally cut off.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that my heart does not mean that my heart is decision is made. Just to back up a little bit, motherhood was always something I knew was in my future, God willing. Like, that was never a question. And my first child was born, she'll be 6 in September. And then my second was born 15 months later. He was four in January. And then our third is 20 months old. So I have a 5, 4, and I guess you could say almost 2-year-old right now. Oldest is a girl, 2 youngest are boys. I grew up, I have a brother and a sister, but they are from different marriages. So technically I am actually an only child. And so I kind of had the best of both worlds. I had these siblings who I love and, you know, cherish, but I also had that very only child experience. So I always gravitated and wanted to be at the friends' houses that had the chaos and had the noise and had the mess. And I kind of always knew I wanted that for myself. I'm okay in that. And I like that, that life. And interestingly enough, I found my partner and my husband, it also grew up similar situation, technically an only child in his home, but does have an older half brother. So, yeah, coming together has been interesting because we have very similar, you know, history and family and childhood. And then now we live in a home of complete chaos. So that's always interesting.
Yeah. So when you guys got together, what was that conversation like when you both clearly wanted kids and you, everyone has that conversation, like, how many kids do you want? Did you immediately say three, or has that kind of evolved as you had kids? Like, obviously you said you wanted, you know, that chaos in the house, but what did that look like for you then versus now?
I believe our number was always two. Okay. Yeah. And then I think because our first two were so back to back, which was not planned, that was kind of shocking for both of us, that it made room for the third because we got those. It was like boom, boom. And then, you know, a couple of years. And then I was like, wait, you know, I still feel so young and still feel like there's something missing. And I will say, to be very honest, he was done with two. So the third was a little more of a surprise and a welcomed surprise. I can't say that, you know, we weren't actively trying either way. So we were very lucky with that third little gift. And I'm not sure my husband is still sure he wants three. It's still like, what happened to us? So it's,
What would you say? Okay, so you're totally speaking my language because for us, two was kind of always our number as well. And we also had our kids back to back, but we're not expecting them to be close. And he comes from a family of three. I come from a family of three, technically. I have an older biological sister and then a half sister as well, but they're older than me, 5 and 20 years older. So I also always envisioned myself kind of having that chaos around, but I didn't know what that number looked like. Like two just felt really manageable. And now that we're 9 months out from having our second, I swear there's like something that happens in our brains after a certain amount of months postpartum where we're like,
I know. What is wrong with us? I know.
I don't know. And now it has me questioning. And before it was like my husband was like, no, like two is enough. And we both randomly kind of brought it up. A few months ago, like, are we done though?
He even had the question.
He did.
Okay, then you're not done. Then you're not done.
That's kind of what everyone keeps telling me. But I think a topic of conversation that always comes up when it comes to the third, and when you have two close together, is like, okay. I'm not ready to have another baby right now. Which at this point I was pregnant with my second when I had my first. And do we wait a couple years? But then does it create a dynamic where two of the kids are real close and they're into the same things because they're close in age? Granted, they're different genders, but hey, the age thing matters. And then you have kind of like one off on their own. That is one of my biggest fears. And I don't, your age gap isn't like huge between your second and third, but have you seen that now that your kids are a little bit older at all? Or does it just flow naturally?
So I actually just had this conversation with a mom at my children's school who has the same exact age gap, except for her oldest is the age of my middle. So she just had her third. She was like, okay. And she literally just had this baby maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And she came up to me yesterday. She's like, should I have a fourth? Like, do you feel like this third doesn't have a buddy? And I could, and I'm only almost 2 years into this. What I can see is because my older two are boy, girl, they're best friends. I mean, so close. Yeah. But I can see my girl. She's now getting social, getting into dance, wanting to do sleepovers. And now that the third, the boy is getting more playful and he can do more things, I can see the two boys, the two younger ones, gravitating towards each other. And because they are the same sex, having that, you know, little, creating their own little bonds. So my fear of him not having a buddy is not enough for me to want to push for a fourth if I could, if I wasn't cut off. my answer to that was no. In our dynamic, I didn't worry about the buddy thing.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because there's so many dynamics at play with everyone's individual scenario. Honestly, personalities of kids play a huge role. And it's so hard to know, but I also feel like it's very hard to ignore a pull in your heart when you're like, oh, I don't think I'm done.
I worry that if the pull is really truly there for you, that if you don't ever do it, if you'll have resentment towards your husband, you know, there's so much there also. I think for us, two was totally manageable. Three, I'm not going to lie. Those people that say, oh, the third just kind of fits in, you'll never notice. Not our case. Not our case. Not our third. He does not fit in. He is so hard. He has thrown us for the total loop. I mean, we are literally hanging on by a thread. So there's that into consideration. That's probably just his personality, but it's really shined a light on like how I handle chaos and how my husband does. And there's no right or wrong, but like, I feel like a fourth would be like not a good thing in terms of our marriage, which in the end of the day, which at the end of the day is what's most important for our kids, right? Is that there's peace and happiness between the parents. So for the betterment of them, I don't know that a fourth would be the smartest. And that's kind of where that debate has to, not debate, but that has to be taken into consideration.
For sure. I appreciate you being really honest about that, because honestly, a lot of people do, I will say, just be like, oh, the third, it just, you know, it's fine. It just fits right in. And I've had a hard time believing that.
It might so be true. I mean, it could be true for some.
Yeah. For you, was that the hardest transition then from two to three?
Oh my God, the hardest. Zero to one.
Okay.
Zero to one. I mean, if I could just hold all first-time mamas and be like, you don't know how good you are going to have it, because you get to just like, your only job is to sit at home and look at this newborn all day long, you know, and of course feed it. I'm sugarcoating it. Like, it's difficult and your life is just like, what the hell happened? But really, you don't have that perspective until you have another one. And you're like, oh my God, why did I make one so hard? Why did I think that was so difficult, when you could just soak in those newborn snuggles and not have to interrupt them for another child that needs and deserves you? You're not spread between two. And anyway, so zero to one for me was a dream. Zero to two, really seamless. I don't know why, especially because they're only 15 months apart. Looking back, I'm like, that was probably crazy, but maybe it was just all crazy and all so new that we kind of were in it. It's been the third. Whew, that's really been really, 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 really tough. And again, he's just a, I think he's just his personality too. And I know that it's his personality is going to be a gift to him in his future. And we're going to just be thinking it's so great. But right now it's challenges every single one of us, including both of his older siblings. We're all like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Well, and it's funny because I feel like my parents always instilled in me three kids. Like, you know, when you have two, you just, each of you got one and you're covered, but you throw a third one in there and it's like, all hell breaks loose. And there's always been this thing about like the third kid. The third kid's like always the degenerate or like whatever. And I hate to say that about anybody because like everyone's circumstance is so different. But in the people that I have in my life, that has always been kind of true. And how unfair me to think of that of my future potential child. But I'm just like, ah, oh, man, like what am I signing up for if I bring this third one into our life? But you just never know. And I think that's what's really hard. And going back to kind of what we were talking about before, I wanted to ask your perspective and you kind of answered it, but I feel like a lot of people say, you'll never regret having more kids, but you will regret not having more. What is
your thought on that? I agree with that. You're never going to hold your baby and be like, I shouldn't have had you. I mean, but I think it's healthy to also look at my third and be like, you've really been the most challenging 18 months of our marriage and our family. But I also am just like hanging on tight and reminding my husband and I that we will actually miss this one day. And I'm also really hanging on to those girlfriends of mine that have the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids that are like, it gets easier. And then I'm looking so forward to the, because my husband and I don't come from large families, I'm also looking so forward to the Thanksgivings where we have everybody around, all the grandchildren. I already can't wait for grandbabies and that stage of life. So I'm putting in the work right now. And I think that maybe the hardest part about all this, you know, above the am I enough and am I teaching them? Am I too attentive? Am I not attentive enough? Am I spoiling them? Am I not, you know, all that. Above all of that is keeping the eye on the prize and knowing that I'm gonna miss this so much one day also. So that's so hard, the dichotomy between the two of wishing it away and then also knowing I'm going to miss it so much. It's so that is the hardest part because I'm almost mad at myself. It's and then, you know, I wonder if our husbands even think about these things. I don't think they do.
I know. It's actually funny that you say that because there was one night my husband and I were laying in bed and I was just like, I think I was just talking. I don't even know if he was listening, like just saying everything that was going on in my mind, all the things in motherhood. And he was like, is that really what your brain thinks about in the day? He's like, it's 10 o'clock at night. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's 10 o'clock at night. This is like, we're just starting. What do you want to dive into? Because there's a lot going on in here.
I know. And but I think it's great how they get through, however they need to get through it, you know, but I just think sometimes I want to shake him and be like, we're so lucky. This is so hard. But like, hang on there with me, you know, because it is so amazing too. So
yeah, going back to like the future thinking, we were talking about that the other night too, how that is something that I've always envisioned and wanted. We grew up in a big family in the sense that we have a ton of cousins. And so our upbringing was surrounded by big gatherings. And I loved it so, so much. My husband was completely opposite, like very small family, just his immediate family. Maybe his aunt or uncle would come over and grandparents. And I just, for my kids' sake, have always wanted them to have that. And something that I think is important to think about is that our kids get us for like 18 years to like lead the way on that, but they get their siblings for their entire life. And well, hopefully. And that to be able to have like more of them to have each other, I think is so cool. So it's like you were saying, it's getting through this really rough, you know, young kids season to then lead them to this like really beautiful relationship where they all, I mean, I see those families that have like 5, 6, 7, 8 kids and I'm like, oh, how fun for them. Like I'm out probably after three, I think, like for sure. But for them, like how cool, like for when they grow up.
Exactly. Just knowing those people are always, you know, there along with you. I totally agree. And you just said exactly kind of what I struggle with is like, get through this. And then I catch myself mm-hmm. saying that. And I'm like, that just sounds so ungrateful, even though I know we don't mean it. Because that's how the day-to-day feels. Like, just get to bedtime. Just get him down for his nap. And then I'm like, oh my God, but he's such an angel. Like, such a – it's the daily –
You will not believe how many – I mean, you will believe because I'm sure you go through the same thing. But, like, get through bedtime. Get him to bedtime. And then half an hour after bedtime and you're looking at the monitor like, I just want to snuggle you. You're the cutest thing. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm like, wow, what a shift.
like what?
What goes on in our brains?
I know. Our poor nervous systems, our poor minds, we're just all over the place in these early, early years. And yeah.
I'm curious when it – so – this third one was sort of a surprise, you said. When you were in it, was it the immediate, like, okay, this is our last? Did you embrace that? Did you take things a little slower and try to be more present in that knowing it was your third? Or was there still some potential hesitation there and you were like, and, you know, just tried to survive because you got two toddlers you're also trying to take care of?
I knew it was my last and I really tried to take it in the pregnancy. I didn't rush that I was like, I could be pregnant for 5 years. Let's slow this down. Yeah. Cause I knew the second it came out, it was like game on. Every time I have a baby, I always immediately have this moment of like, this is going to sound really bad actually, but especially the first time I always had this moment of like, why was I so excited for this? Like, I kind of want to put it back in because that immediate change is like, oh God, this is like, that's when it hits me. I think that it's real. Like when you're, you know, and then, I don't ever want to leave the hospital. Like I really want to stay home because I know that then that's the next step of the real life. And for this third, I really tried to embrace it at home, you know, but I had the two little other ones running around. So that's, I think, why in that moment I was like just really missing that first time mommy that I had experienced because you just realize like, oh my God, I can't sit here all day with you. And I just really wish I could. And that's when I get really bummed. And this is kind of going to be downer, but bummed on the society that we live in, because I wish that we lived in more of a village type society where we had our moms living with us and our grandmas and our aunts were next door and our best friends were like truly able to come over and take our kids. And like, yes, we have good friends. Okay. Of course, but they're, we're all so busy. We're all too busy to really show up for each other the way a postpartum mom needs. So the society is just not built to be supportive of postpartum mamas. And now I'm getting on my health and wellness box. I'm going to get off that soapbox.
No, please do.
but we can't sit around anymore with these babies like these postpartum mamas and babies deserve. So, you know, I think that's why I want a fourth, because I'm like, okay, now this is the one that I'm going to literally not buy anything for. He or she would sleep with me. Just in a carrier all the time. Don't even need a stroller. Like, totally have this baby connected to me at all times, because the other ones I was so quick to like put down or put in a swaddle or put in on a sleep schedule because I had so much else to do. And that mentality is so normalized, and having a quote unquote good sleeper is so praised. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really sad because they just need you.
It is.
So.
It is. Well, and I totally think it's a societal pressure and perspective, right? And a lot of times we forget to go back to the basics because we're so far from removed from that's now considered abnormal.
You even have pediatricians asking, now how well is the baby sleeping? And they're like, who gives a fuck, how well the baby's sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just really what a wild thing to ask a new mom. And then 5 minutes later, yeah, be like, and do you have any anxiety? Here, fill out this little questionnaire. Yes. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh no. Yes. And it's funny that you bring that up too, because going back, like, I feel like, well, in my scenario, at least with my first, I was lost my mom at 5 weeks postpartum, yeah, with cancer. So like that's a whole thing on its own. But then with my second, it was like, I was, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, I was just in this like busy mentality and like complete survival mode and trying to whatever. And I think part of me is craving a third, because it's almost like I need this redemptive experience. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, mm-hmm, now I know and I want to do it different. Mm-hmm. And whether that's better or worse, I'm not sure. But for me and for my heart, it's like, I just want to take a moment to be slow and to like really embrace this journey. Cause like, once it's done, and it happens in a blink of an eye. Like it happens so quickly. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think part of it, that is a huge part of the decision. And then part of me is like, is that selfish?
Like, I was just going to say, like, I totally feel like, you 100%. In fact, that, yeah, third was like, okay, this is how I'm finally going to do this birth the way that I want to. I'm going to have the birth that I, yeah, want. And I got that. And then I just mentioned what I would do differently with a fourth. And I had the same questions. I'm like, is this like a terrible reason to have a baby? Maybe, but yeah, like, we also deserve, we're also moms and we know what we're, yeah, capable of, and we deserve to do it the way that we want to. And I just, yeah, I'll never have the right answer. I guess I'll never have the, yeah, right answer, because I don't know. I've never been able to identify with the feeling of, because I have friends that are like, that just knew that were done, yeah, like were tapped out. And maybe that's a personality thing. I think that has a lot to do with, mm-hmm, your childhood, you know, your motives. I mean, there's so much, I think, going into it. And I do respect knowing when you're done and being really, yeah, comfortable, yeah, with that feeling. I think there's something about me that, like, you know, mm-hmm, there's something deep down that I'm trying to fix with each kid or something, right? There's,
yeah.
It also just comes, yeah, easily to, it also comes easily to me. And I think that if it doesn't, that's totally okay for some people, just like it's not super, mm-hmm, easy for my husband. So I think that I'm like, well, if it's kind of easy for me, like, should I just have more? Cause like, I'm one of those that this is like fairly easy on, but then I'm like, is it even really, yeah, easy on me? Am I actually losing my marbles? And everyone around me is like, you're a stressed out mess and you have no idea. Yeah. I kind of think that's how my family thinks, that, you know, she thinks she has it all, but like, really, you know, it's fine. Again, it's a short,
we're all
period,
doing the best we can.
Right. Right.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like, you know, I've even seen things on like Instagram reels, and it's like, you don't want another kid, you just miss them being babies. And then that gets into my head and I'm like, And it's like, you really have to go back and like define your why, and which is really hard to do. And like, we're still in the thick of it. Like, I have a 9-month-old. So like, maybe we need to be a little bit further removed to have a clear set. But like, again, she's only 9 months old and I already miss her being like the sweet little newborn. But I feel like that can get really into people's heads too. And again, it's like all this outside noise, and like, we forget to come into like our own selves and what works for us and our families.
Then there's a side of, yeah, like then like, how woo-woo do you want to get? Like, there's part of me that believes that if it's meant to be, it's going to be. Like, you could want that or not.
Yes.
Like, there is a, yes, soul that is going to come through if it's meant to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's not on your timeline. And that kind of isn't really up to you. And sometimes I find more grace and, mm-hmm, or more peace in that. Like, well,
yes,
this is my path. That I really can't really, it doesn't matter what I want. Like,
yeah,
this is going to happen or not. So,
Right. Like there's a plan for our life. And that's what I'm trying to like lean into, I think, is just we don't have to have the answers. I feel like so many times we feel like we have to have the answers. And that can be anything from deciding to have a kid to like a decision we're making for our kids in motherhood or for ourselves in motherhood. Like everyone always wants to ask us to have the answers. And like, I don't even know if we're meant to. We're just like meant to do our best. Like take the information that we have and from sources we trust and figure it out for ourselves in like our own unique ways. But everyone just wants like a solid black and white. And I just don't really know if there is one.
Yeah. And I think that's the only thing that really makes me nervous that about, you know, my husband being done and having the vasectomy. I think that makes me a little more like, well, how can you be so sure that just, you know, one person goes mm-hmm. one way. Like sometimes when we have arguments, we're making decisions. I've played the game where I go really hard one way, like, all right, you're right. We're not doing yes. this. And then all of a sudden he'll come back and be like, well, maybe we should. And it's funny because I feel like once someone, you feel someone such a strong stance, sometimes it makes you be like, oh, well, I don't know. Is that right? Or.
mm-hmm. Oh, yes, for sure. And I think there's probably a lot of people out there that can resonate with not being on the same page as their partner. Like, what do you do if you really, really, really want more kids and your partner is like, hard pass? Like, I at least feel comfort in knowing that my husband and I are both in this gray area together, but I cannot imagine like feeling so strongly about that because it's a big, I mean, it impacts your entire life. You know, it's not just like choosing what to eat in the morning. have you known anyone who's gone through that?
No. And that would be incredibly difficult. No, I can't imagine. I mean, that's where you would need therapy. And I think, you know, individual and together to both really get to the deep downs of the why either way. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. like I've gone back to, I wouldn't recommend bringing another child in if the other spouse isn't 100% on board, because then there's always that resentment and when things get crazy. Then there's always that underlying factor. And at the end of the day, it's important that the parents are happy for the children that are here. But I think the other thing that would be really hard too is to have that conversation, you know, we definitely want a few, and then to have the person backpedal like after the first one would be hard because of course you don't know until you have one. Yes. And you're like, but you know, one heart changes, one doesn't. That's just such a hard, you never know. That's why mm-hmm. marriage and young families is just such a hard time because they're just, things are always changing and the children's needs are always changing and let alone like, you know, the women, we're changing so much between 30 to 40 in terms of our needs and mm-hmm. our interests and our hormones and our health and our minds. And it's really a wild, beautifully wild decade, but it's, you're hanging on in so many ways, you know, and the communication and the absolutely. Has to be there and understanding and grace. A lot of grace.
I was going to say so much grace, so much grace. I'm curious if you're open to sharing when it came to the discussion about a vasectomy, did that happen like during pregnancy? Did it happen in the postpartum time? And then like, how did you decide, okay, this is the time? Because I know you said like your heart will always kind of question. So what did that conversation look like?
So I'm just now thinking back, like I feel like my heart will always question. Because I for some reason feel so 31. Like I don't feel 37.
Yeah.
So I'm grieving that like for newly married first baby time and like accepting that that phase is over and I'm heading into my 40s has been like tough for me and I don't know why. So that is kind of an identity thing.
I get that.
But the vasectomy conversation started about 45 minutes after I told him I was pregnant.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This is the one that I texted him. Okay, so he was golfing And it was the day before Thanksgiving. He was golfing, which he loves to do. Happiest place for him is on the middle of that golf course, away from, you know, chaos. And my parents had just gotten into town. So when he was coming home from golfing, he was walking into a house full of my family. Mm. So I texted him the picture of the test. And knowing that, so he could have his little meltdown, like, you know, by himself, and also fully knowing that he could come home, but like had to put on a certain face because my family was there. Mm-hmm. We were going to go and do a Thanksgiving weekend. So I texted him and he wrote back like an hour later, I think because he doesn't really check his phone when he golfs, but also I think he kind of was like, what the hell? But he literally wrote back, WTF. And I didn't respond because that's okay. I didn't respond. I was like,
uh-huh. Yeah, it's all right.
And then we didn't really talk about it. I mean, he like said a little something when he got home, like, are you really serious? Like, oh no. Oh. Yeah. WTF. And then like 20 minutes later was, are those tests ever wrong? And I was like, not usually on the positive end. And then I think he asked again when he got home, maybe you should take another one or something like that. And then we didn't really talk about it. And then I remember being sad. I remember being pretty sad, like, and a little bit lonely. Like, he's not even acknowledging this. And then I think, you know, as it went on, like, excited and we just as a family started talking about growing. But yeah, it was almost immediate that he wanted to get a vasectomy, as if I could get pregnant again while pregnant.
Yeah, right.
And so anyway, so it was during pregnancy, but I wouldn't allow him to because, of course, nothing's for sure, you know? And I really knew that I would resent him if something horrific happened during pregnancy because now I was going for another one if so.
Yeah,
That's you're morbid set. To talk about, but I'm, you know, it's true.
Yeah.
No. And so, so baby was here and I can't remember exactly. I think Olson was born in August. I think he got it in like November, but he stayed so far away from me. Like he was like, are you ovulating? Like he was so afraid of me basically.
Oh my goodness.
And then, I mean, I'm getting real detailed here, but I don't really care. He went on like day three post, like to get his sperm checked. Like, am I fertile? Like he was so afraid. And it was it was fertile for like three checks. Like he was you're going in too early. Like it says right here.
Yeah, right.
The clear instructions. And he was just like, no, I just need to know. Like this. He was just done.
I mean, at least you know he's going to hold himself accountable to do those checks because I hear so often that guys forget to go in and then they end up with that surprise baby like 4 or 5 years later.
Which I cannot, I can't fathom. I can't understand that. But obviously that I have a very different husband. But like to go through that procedure and then not follow up and be like, but also the follow-up is like a little, the whole thing's a little weird. So I think he just wanted to get it done and like never go back to that office again. So
let's never talk about this ever again.
The whole thing was wild. But I'm like, really? You want to go through all that? Like you don't just want to maybe like, you know, maybe have a fourth. He was like, no. So.
Okay. Yeah. So he's done.
He is so
not even
so
a conversation.
Which is why I have to be. And he's right. Like financially.
Yeah.
And you know, you start to think about the experiences you want to give the children you do have. And three and four just like really change what you can afford and everything. But then what is all that worth? Because then I'm thinking about, you know, like you said, their future. And it would be nice to have, I don't know. There's no right answer. And I'm so happy I'm so happy there's people out there that have none. There's people out there that have one, and there's people out there that can have nine. And I think there's room for all of
us. Absolutely. There is. And everything works different for different families, and everyone handles the family dynamics differently. I think it's really important what you brought up, and I wanted to touch on that, so I'm glad you did, is I think it's a big fear, especially for moms, because we carry so much of the mental load. We're often a default parent, is like, if I bring another child into this family, how am I going to give them the attention and the experience they deserve? I mean, I know I have. I feel like completely unhinged with just two. And so I'm like, how on earth would I make this work without, you know, you see in bigger families, and my mom talks about this a lot because she came from a family of eight where, you know, you get to a point where the older ones are taking care of the younger ones, and that's great. Sometimes they don't know any different. But she has talked about how, like, sometimes her older siblings resented that because they were kids too. They didn't want to be a parent. And so I think three is a little bit different because it's more, it's not quite to that experience. But I'm like, how has it been on just a mental side of like, and I think anyone, no matter how many kids you have over one, deal with this, but like, am I giving enough to each child? How am I supposed to do this and make sure that they are all getting what they need from me and still taking care of myself and still taking care of my marriage?
It's a lot. It's a nuanced answer. I've had that conversation with some people who come from many, and most, and of course, you know, I haven't talked to everyone that comes from many, so there are differing opinions, but the majority of the people I've talked to have said she wasn't there. I don't want to say enough, but their first answer is my sibling stepped in, which, like you said, is it's such a gift, but it puts so much pressure on the other children, but also nobody knows any difference. So I can't say that there's any right or wrong. I think coming from being an only child, really, for so much of my childhood, that I am really sensitive because I do know what it feels like to have like all the attention. So sometimes I am really hard on myself because I feel like I am spread so thin. I mean, I find myself telling my kids, there's only one of me. There's only one of me. I need to hold on. I cannot do this right now. I have to help so-and-so. Or sometimes when I'm really frustrated, this is really mean, but it's true, I'll tell my oldest, read the room. Like, read the room. This is going on. I cannot like cut that out for you right now. Like, I can't cut out the heart. You got to just take us, assess the situation right now. Is right now a good time to ask mommy to do this? Now, that breaks my heart, but also I think she's learning valuable lessons. And I always try, you know, but then the mama load comes in because that's in the back of my mind. So sometime before bedtime, I try to pull her aside and get on her level and explain why that went down so that she doesn't feel just shoved aside. But then that's a lot of stress on me because I'm having to remember to have that in conversation with her. And it just ultimately adds more to my plate, but just trying to be aware of the times you maybe have to kind of say no. Like, not right now, which is definitely, I think, for the better, to know that they're not the center of attention all the time. But it is a fine.
I actually really like that, though. Like, situational and self-awareness is something that I feel like is lacking in a lot of society. So being able to kind of instill some of that in like an age-appropriate way for them now, I think it's important because there's just one of us. And that's hard for them to understand. But the more we can reiterate it in certain ways, I feel like will be to their benefit as they're growing up and understanding that more.
And all you can do is say it to them, but you cannot expect them to understand it at this age. No. It's just all you can do is remember what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a 5 and 4 year old brain. You can tell them, you can say, I can't do that. They're still going to have the fit because they don't understand. And that really helps me is trying to learn what I should expect from their little brains. Like, they cannot grasp certain situations. And that's really helped me not lose my mind because it's a little bit freeing to know there's no way she's going to understand this. Like, I can't take her fit personally or be thrown off or dysregulated by it because how could I expect her to react any differently or him right now?
Yeah. That has actually been the biggest thing that has helped me in motherhood is like trying to put myself in their shoes for a minute when they are doing something that feels really unreasonable to me. But understanding that in their perspective, this is all they know. Their world is like us and this experience right now. And yeah, that would be, I have to like remind my husband of that sometimes that I'm like, you have to remember, like, he doesn't know any different right now. Like this is, you know, if we cut the sandwich the wrong way, the sandwich is his world right now.
Like, yes, exactly.
He expected this to go the right way. Like,
exactly. So and that's his only thing to worry about right now. We just messed it up. And like trying to be sensitive to that, which is so hard, especially for some dads.
So hard.
Yeah. And I think really understanding that their worlds are so small. So like not, you know, putting in their fake order for their fake restaurant is like really the end of their day. Like,
Yes. Truly.
Yes. So I know. And that is what I think the best part about being a parent is really you're called to that moment and you have to be so present and you're so reminded. You're right. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else.
Yes.
None of this matters.
That is so true. Yeah. It is a really nice pull towards reality and like your values, because I feel like we're so busy and dysregulated that the littlest things feel really big to us. And then we forget that that's exactly what's going on for our kids. And like, they're kind of pulling us back to like, is that really important? You know? Right. Yeah. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. They're so challenging, but they are such a blessing.
Well, the biggest reason is because I've learned so much of yourself is exposed. You know, you're so vulnerable with being a mom and learning what they do triggers you. Cause really it's just a reflection of you. You know, the ego and the perception of others on how you might be parenting or not parenting, or just being really confident in your decisions. And it's just such an immense, you're learning so much more from them than I ever imagined.
Yeah. They have a way of cracking you wide open, fully exposed. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with Taylor's Dear Mama monologue, and we will end out this episode.
Dear Mama, each baby is a chance for your heart to grow in a way that you had no idea possible. There is a part of your heart that expands. It's as if you grow a new one, and each one is living on the outside of your body. So you are as vulnerable as ever, but so, 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 so full. And it's so important. If you can put this down on a notepad next to your bed, look at it every morning and every night. This is a season. This too shall pass. And that is both the best and the hardest part of motherhood, is it will pass. So have grace with yourself, with your little babies. You're both learning from each other every single day. And know that you are the best mama for that baby.
Love it. Thank you so much. This was such a needed conversation. I feel like I got clarity for my own life.
You're having a third.
I did.
Do it for me.
When? We'll see. We're gonna leave that up to God's hand. I'm gonna send you the pregnancy test before I send my husband.
Yes. Hey, great. I'll be
listen,
so excited.
It's happening. I'm gonna text him while he's on the golf course and it'll be great. Oh, so wonderful. But thank you for being here. Please tell us everywhere that our listeners can reach you, because I want to shout from the rooftops your own podcast, because you guys, it's so awesome. But then also where we can find you on Instagram and stuff, because your wellness stuff is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So I have a podcast with my best friend. It's really just our whole gist of it is as if you were kind of eavesdropping on two best friends having like a really juicy conversation. So we talk all things mama. We talk about wellness. We talk about trends, society. And, you know, we love each other hard, but we challenge each other a lot also. So the name of that podcast is The Jesse and Taylor Show. And my Instagram is @TaylorCole.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I am just excited to keep following your mama journey. And yeah, I'm going to follow up when this third baby comes.
Yeah. See, when this third someday, baby comes.
Someday. Yeah. Someday. It may, hopefully, for my own sanity, hopefully not anytime soon. But if
it does, God willing, and that's then. When, yep. Exactly.
That's take it. When it's meant to be.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you so much for talking to me about my most favorite topic and helping me talk through some things also. Anytime. I feel like it was, kind of therapeutic in a way.
It is healing just to talk to other moms. No matter where the conversation goes, there's just always something we all needed to chat through.
Exactly. All right. Thank you.
Hi, girl. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Moms of the Night podcast, where we are on a mission to make motherhood, especially those middle of the night hours, feel less lonely. If you know another mama who could use these comforting words tonight, please consider sharing this episode with her. And don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you're enjoying the episodes, a quick click on that 5-star button and leaving a review would mean the world to me. It's one of the many ways we can reach as many moms as possible who might benefit from hearing these conversations and words of encouragement. Your support means everything. Until next time.